like we are, it's a Wednesday, right? So clubs are now every bit as responsible for the marketing of their upcoming season openers as the AFL. The AFL go, here, there's the schedule. Mm. Then it's over to you. Mm. Go and work this out. Yep. So my question is, who's promoting this round one game best? Who's promoting their round one encounter best right now?
Okay.
And how are they doing it?
Okay, here's my number one nomination for you and everybody else this morning. I think the production team of McCreary and Crisp are probably doing it better than any other production team out there at the moment. And
what
I just
mean?
Hope they're on. I just hope they're on an earner from the AFL or Collingwood and Geelong.
But we know there's going to be massive crowds because the AFL set it up this way. But when you see some of the things that are just unfolding over the past, like we'll get to the front page of the Herald Sun in a moment.
Yep.
Massive sit down tell all with one of the most watchable players in the competition, Jordan DeGoey. So that's landed today. So eyes on that. Ooh, let's think about Collingwood on Friday night. So they're doing a good job.
But have a listen to the McCreary Chris production on a podcast on a former teammate of theirs, Ollie Henry.
There's a bit of bad blood there in a way, and they're always good. And then obviously someone's left Collingwood to go there. So
maybe a push and shove here and there might throw him off his game, but we'll see how we go.
We'll get around him for sure, but we want him to just, you know, stay focused and play his role within the team.
Okay, so McCreary and Chris talking about Ollie Henry, the fact that he left the club. So they said there's a bit of bad blood there. They could have gone with a lot of bad blood there, but they went with a little bad blood there. And then, so that gets picked up from there.
Yep.
And then that means then that the journalist that's then speaking to Jeremy Cameron has to throw a line in about it. He has to respond.
Ooh.
And then lo and behold, we got ourselves a mighty game at the MCG because there's so much bad blood now between these two clubs.
And we know it'll all count for nothing. Like, we know that there might be one or
no,
two.
But it's good.
It adds a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? In all honesty, I reckon what McCreary said there is probably the truth about what some of the players felt about the departure of Ollie Henry, okay? Now, he probably tempered it. He could have probably...
No, I think Bo McCreary, I don't think he's done a hell of a lot of media.
No.
He just sat down with the, I don't know what podcast it was, with a mate, was it, or a podcast, whatever it was, and just spoke whatever came into his head.
That's right, and that's how he feels about it. So that's real, it's raw, and that's how some of the Collingwood players probably felt. Now, I don't know how it's going to manifest itself, but in terms of the lead up to a game and the build up to the game, we're now saying, okay, well, there's a little bit there between those Collingwood players and Ollie Henry. Are they going to try and do a bit of a team type thing
then
towards Ollie? And then you got the protection of the Geelong players of their new teammate, Ollie Henry.
And then you add Braden Maynard. Who was it last year that someone will tell us? Like, I've been trying to think. Remember he was the first game of the year or the first final. I can't remember one or the other where he just lined someone up and the bone-crunching tackle. Mm. He did it a couple of times, Braden Maynard, right at the start of a game, set the scene. So does Braden Maynard just wander over to Ollie Henry? It was Ed Langdon, because Ed Langdon had said something about Collingwood.
About the way they play, yeah.
Yeah, so then the opening bounce and he just went whack. So, and that just, it was a fever pitch. So if at the start of this game you got 90,000 people going nuts, you know, Collingwood are thinking, you know, we were 6 points off Geelong in that first semi-final, we should have been. He wanders over to Henry, bang, gives him the old shoulder. Oh,
the crowd roars and everybody's into it.
A-plus for Collingwood. A-plus for those.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think that they just – I think they went rogue, those two, though. I don't think that was sanctioned by Craig Kelly and the Collingwood production team.
I think there's no coincidence.
Or Nadine. I don't think Nadine had anything to do with that. I think she's been kept in the dark about that. But the other one, obviously – this is the obvious one, right? And I don't know that we got Sam Mitchell's response yesterday. But any time – Essendon play against Hawthorn, the line in the sand thing is brought up.
A for Sam Mitchell. A. Well, you came
the way that he responded.
Exactly.
He said that he didn't really walk away from it, did he?
No, he offered it up.
Yeah.
Well, they said to him, oh, you've had a couple of dust-ups, you know, you've had a – well, here it is up here on the news right now. You've had a few dust-ups at training. Yeah, we spoke about this. It's all good and well to dance with your sister, but we want to see. Mm.
Well, they've been blueing with their sister because they've been actually belting each other in their practice games.
That's right. And he's saying, Oh, yeah, I encourage it. And if we become known as a team and have got a bit of a nasty, unsociable Hawks edge to us, then I encourage that. And, of course, we play Essendon this weekend and then bang, line in the sand.
We have a problem here, though. We do have a problem about all that because somebody's going to have to explain to Brad Scott what it's all about. At this stage, he'd be watching that. Well, what's this line in the sand stuff, Brad, that you're talking about?
Turn it up.
He won't know. He won't know the history between Essendon.
It runs through Brad Scott's veins, whispers.
And further to that, further to the bad blood that exists between the two clubs, I was just reading about this in The Age, and this is Dipper has done a podcast for Hawthorn.
A-plus for the Hawks, because they've rolled Dipper out with his Essendon story about the spa.
That's right. He said that the state training was at Glenferrie Oval because Jeansy was the coach. And he's come in after training, and there's Terry and Simon just sitting back in the team spa. And he said, out. We don't want S and DNA. We don't want you blokes peeing in our spa. We don't want your DNA everywhere.
A+. I'm putting the Hawks up to an A+. They have done everything they possibly can.
Come on, Essendon, respond.
To stir the emotions of their – because this is what they've got to do. Stir. We know we're going to get, Essendon, Hawthorn. When is that game?
That's Sunday afternoon at the MCG.
3:20 Sunday. Yeah. So you should get maybe 50. They're looking at 50 and then Hawks go.
60 now.
Let's see if we can get this up to 60. We can get a bit of the online in the sand stuff going. So the coach is bought in. The past player's bought in. We need a response from Essendon today.
Well, Shoods, he's been quiet lately.
That's it.
He's been very, very quiet lately.
Let's help these clubs out just to maybe get that extra 2,000, 3,000 or 4,000 people along. I think if Shoods comes out.
What do you want him to say? What do you want him to say?
I was going to say marshmallows, but that was North Melbourne.
No, you want him to have evidence of something accused Hawthorn of many years ago.
Yeah, Brereton. She's just got to come out and have a go at Dermot about something. And then Dermot can have a go back, and then that will get – there'll be another 3,000. Job done. Right. So tick off for Collingwood.
Mm. Tick off for Sam Mitchell and Hawthorn.
Yeah, Cats. Yeah, Jeremy Cameron just a quiet. Yeah, we'll fly the flag. So they don't really need any. Geelong fans are going to come.
Melbourne play the Bulldogs. Why hasn't
song? Get that song out.
Well, get the song. Well, there's the song, but now you've got
exactly. you're going to go to training today.
You got Lockie Hunter too.
It's captain's run on when is it? Friday.
Mm.
You're going to go down there, and as the boys run out to do training.
Play that.
Yeah. And have Lockie Hunter do a little rap song, a little rap dance to it in the middle of the MC, in the middle of the training venue.
Come on, D's. Come on, doggies.
And then the dogs, well, they've got to come back as well.
Other clubs are leaving you behind at the moment.
That's right. So we're working hard just to try and get this record first round crowd. Kangas, Eagles. Is there anything there? Simo?
Mm.
Simo's passed with the Kangas.
Yeah.
Clarko and Simo.
I'm not sure about Simo any bad blood that is part of the connection between those two clubs. Clarko doesn't have trouble. He doesn't have trouble picking a fight, though, does he?
No, he'll pick a fight. In fact, Brooksy just got it. They've got to trot Jakovic Kerry out. Yes, Wish. Trot him out for a photo.
Well, what about a
wrestle in the middle of the G? A slap.
Oh, no, you can't be advocating that. Gemmo's been hanging on the line in South Morang. Good morning, Gemmo.
Morning, boys. Hello. Great to have you back. And we have footy back tomorrow night.
Oh, isn't it? What? How do you reckon the four umpires are going to go?
That's a question for you two guys. I haven't watched too much of the preseason. You guys watch a lot of footy. Mm. How did they go in the preseason, and how do you think they'll go when the real stuff starts?
No, I don't think anyone noticed them, did they, Gary?
I think there's the answer for you, Gemmo. We came back on air after the first round of practice matches when there were four umpires, and I can't remember taking one call where someone rang up and said, I tell you what, the game's stuffed as a result of that extra umpire.
Oh.
We haven't had one yet.
I'll tell you who's stuffed. Oh. I'm stuffed. What? I am stuffed because I had the opportunity, as that Rowan has said, I was at the MCG yesterday. I was out there on the hallowed turf doing a pitch inspection. I had the opportunity to draw a line on the MCG for the game on Sunday, and I missed the opportunity. Why didn't you tell me to take some lime with me or something?
I wasn't in promoter mode yesterday. I mean, exactly. You had all the media there, and there's the Wisp. With his can of spray paint,
I could have
spraying a dirty big long white line. They go, "What are you doing, Whispers? Line in the sand. That would have... You've missed...
He's on everywhere in here, boys. Spot fires all over the place.
You missed a trick there. You've missed a trick. Any other promotional ideas that you've come up with, please help us out. Anyone, any of these other games need a hand? Port Adelaide and the Brisbane Lions. I've got nothing there. I've got nothing. What can Corn do? We'll have to leave that to Corn to try and steer.
Well, that's Corn's domain over there. We're not allowed to step over the border and interfere.
My man Brooks is on fire. He's just suggesting cut up the Wakelin Lynch punch-on from the grand final.
Brooksy, one of the best producers just, in the biz.
Cut that up and put it on a loop for the fans just to get them into the spirit of things. Very nice,
Brooksy. Yeah, put them on the back of a Toyota Hilux and just parade them around the cage before the game.
Promote that.
Yeah, that'd be magnificent.
They're going to get them back out there and see whether anything can happen. Send them through. We like it. We're excited. I think the clubs are doing a great job.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Oh, I tell you what, for Mate Internet and Mobile, $1 per month, $1 per month for 3 months with the Mate Mobile plans. Make the switch to today. Here's Sam Edmund.
Oh, gee, busy morning.
Isn't it?
You can tell it's only one sleep to go, Gary.
Isn't, can't you just?
It's good morning to you.
It's alive. It's tangible. Oh. It's just buzzing.
And so there's a lot of excitement. It is a shame in some way, albeit important to talk about the ongoing concussion debate, learnings in sport, of course, and particularly with our little neck of the woods here at AFL. And Max Rook yesterday, the big story, named and revealed as the lead plaintiff in what has been a long-anticipated class action brought against the AFL. We knew it was coming, but the documents were lodged yesterday at the Supreme Court, and they detailed lifelong consequences for Rook and 60 other players behind him who have had concussive episodes playing the game between 85 and 2023. Now, reading through the writ yesterday and last night, Rook says he suffered what he estimated to be between 20 and 30 concussions in his career, 135 games, and was rendered unconscious on at least two occasions. And in a statement, Margolett Injury Lawyers Managing Principal Michelle Margolett said the injuries suffered by this group of former AFL players as a direct result of the concussion sustained while playing Aussie rules has had a devastating impact on their lives and the lives of their loved ones. It cites the defendant, the AFL obviously, and the fact that they ought to have known, says Margolett Lawyers, of the potential long-term consequences of concussion suffered by players.
Is this separate to Liam Picken, for instance?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so is it against the doctor? Liam Picken suing the doctors at the Western Bulldogs
correct.
At the time. Is this against the doctors of any particular
it only
club?
Names the AFL as the defendant, the best of my knowledge. There's more to be revealed on this. And, of course, we'd love to hear from Max Rook. I'm sure that time will come. And maybe some of the players who, I'm told, will want to remain anonymous throughout the course of this process. Some will want to put their hand up. Some will speak in time. It is going to be a long and drawn-out process. We're talking months, if not years here. They also state in this writ that the need to make and enforce rules reasonably designed so as to mitigate consequences of long-term injury arising from concussion. So it does cite historical reference points too in years gone by regarding studies and discoveries that have made it clear, they say, the seriousness of long-term effects associated with concussion and head-high hits. And it said that it was reasonably foreseeable that the defendant, to the defendant, that AFL players were vulnerable to the injury of concussion caused by head strikes while playing AFL football. So Gil McLachlan was on AFL 360 last night. A number of discussion points. One of them, of course, was this class action brought against the league.
So I read the, I haven't seen actually what the case is, but I read the PR blurb today, and you know, what I read in that is not what the AFL I know, both at a community level an elite level. And if there's an issue there, we'll be answerable to that.
But there is an issue. That's clear.
Yeah.
Not if.
He does go on to say, though, that we're beholden to what science knows at the time regarding concussion. Now, how that has changed and progressed for the better, the AFL has, he said, done its best to remain in lockstep with that. So what we know now is not what we knew then.
Yes. Those critics of the AFL would say they're very late to react.
Yeah. And absolutely, and that was put to him last night too. But, you know, Max Rook, I know Jared Waitley will speak about this a little bit later on 360, dug up an example of Max Rook being concussed in 2009 in a game against Essendon, I think it was at Marvel Stadium. And he came back on a quarter later. And even the commentary around, as I'm sure Jared will play later, was all around the bravado and the tough guy to come back.
That's exactly what used to happen. That's from my own personal experience, from Tim's personal experience.
But that's not the 80s, is it?
Get back on as quick as you can.
That's 2009.
Yeah.
That's not that long ago. So it has been a sharp, I guess, learning in this space. So they've boosted the hardship fund. They've made amendments to the match review panel, some 30-odd changes since 2002, and a lot of those regarding head-high hits. So they're spending $25 million, as well, the AFL, and that 10-year longitudinal study. So
that $25 million is a drop in the ocean compared to the legal fees that are potentially upcoming. It's like if these class actions continue to come.
Potentially. He did say that's not something that he was worried about, Gillon McLachlan. He said, you know, the priority, you would expect him to say, is always health and safety of the players. And what will be, and if there's an issue, then they'll be beholden to that. So I mentioned the number of topics. Hawthorn investigation ongoing. The league was hopeful of getting something pre-Christmas, the findings, but instead was given a firm don't ask again from the independent panel. Gil last night said he thought he could bring the Hawthorn investigation to a conclusion, or couldn't, but was now hopeful he could. So it's sooner rather than later was the possibility, he said last night. So again, we'll wait and see on that. Tasmania, the federal government funding announcement, or otherwise, will come by May's federal budget. But the AFL will know before then whether they get that $240 million or thereabouts. If it does come, he said the presidents will still need to give their final approval. But their main contention has always been the stadium anyway and the funding for it. So that would have thought would have been a given.
I think that all comes down to Gary, that funding. Because Yes.
Well, how?
Well, they're looking. The federal government are looking for money. They may have found it in your super fund.
You idiot.
It needs to be clarified.
Twilight Grand Final a step closer.
Oh, geez. Talk about an annual debate. But I tell you, he's teased us so many times on this, Gillon McLachlan, only to taketh away. And he's remained the traditionalist. He's on the record of saying, I'm a traditionalist. Last night, he was taken down this path again. I don't know. I thought he was maybe just, again, could just be a tease, but perhaps a little bit more expansive. He will make a recommendation to the AFL Commission on the start time in the next few weeks. This is how he approached it last night on 360.
If I'm responsible for everything bad and good,
well, you are.
I've had my first here on the Saturday afternoon. I have noticed, though,
there's
just out there that there's people a bit more.
What?
I think receptive to having a look at something else. Have you noticed that?
Almost broke our code then, Dunstall. It's coming. So anyway, let's not waste our breath. It'll come sooner rather than later.
This year?
Maybe. Well, the numbers were down a bit, weren't they? The viewing numbers.
For the grand final, but he would say to that, well, whenever there's a blowout on a grand final, the type would say, people turn off blowout. So maybe not the best. But the prelim finals, certainly spectacle-wise, were pretty magnificent. Hey, Jason Owen Francis on Sports Day last night as well with Kane Corns and Jared Healy. He was asked specifically how he feels about how he's perceived after a difficult debut year, of course, with requesting a trade from North Melbourne to Port Adelaide. This is how Jason Owen Francis chose to answer.
Like you said, it's impossible to hide from that. I guess hate, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of things. I try to surround myself with the best people I can. You know, my family and friends, they're the best people I've got in my life, and just try to surround myself and do things that make me happy. And, you know, I'm very lucky that I've got a good, you know, friend group that when I'm with them, we don't have to talk about footy or anything like that. So that really helps.
Yeah, detest any hate messages of that nature. Yep. I would say this, be careful about making too many excuses for Jason Horn Francis. And I'm talking to Corn here. And he is very much in his corner, which is great. Mm. And it's Taron Thomas's fault. It's North Melbourne's fault. You know, they didn't set it. They set him up to fail. Okay, all that. But don't make too many excuses for this man. He's a young man, albeit. But every time I pick the paper up, there's an excuse made for Jason Horn Francis. Okay, the circumstances may not have been ideal.
Two to tango.
Take some personal response. Don't give him the out. Let him say, okay, here it's in front of you. You be as good as you can be. But I'm just hearing a lot of excuses being made.
Take that, Corn.
I don't give a stuff what anyone thinks.
There's a little bit of a laugh with this, but there's an emergency convoy of turf, I'm told, bound for Adelaide at the moment. Now, HG Turf is the company with the contracts to replace the grass at the MCG, Adelaide Oval, Optus Stadium in the wake of these huge Ed Sheeran concerts. We've spoken about it. Massive at the G, 100,000 each of the two nights. Adelaide Oval had 60,000 on a wet night. Optus Stadium had a record 73,000 to watch Ed Sheeran on Sunday night. Now, people have told me that the Adelaide Oval got, I don't know if it got some of its turf there initially and they weren't happy with it or there's more damage or there wasn't enough. Regardless of all that, incredibly fine because there's a shipment going from Alexandra in
that's
country
where they
Victoria.
Grow. That's where they grow up, though.
That's HD Turf headquarters. That's where it has to be picked up from. This morning, right now, being taken from there all the way to Adelaide. It's Wednesday the 15th
what,
of March.
What, to be laid for this weekend's
They've
game?
They've got a game on Saturday.
That are you saying, yes. hang on, I just want to clarify this, because are you saying that the turf that's on the B double right now, that's to be delivered to Adelaide, is going to be laid for the Saturday game?
That is how it's been put to me.
Well, knock me down.
Well, okay. Well this is not against the turf company, but that is cutting it very, very fine.
You're talking
very fine.
Talking to the turf specialist over here who broke this story, Jay-Z, Whispers.
Well, I walked the MCG yesterday.
You walked it.
I walked on the turf yesterday.
What did you think of it?
No, it was great. It was great. Yeah, you can see that it's been relayed, but then when you get out there, it's really level and even and that type of thing. But the people I spoke to there yesterday.
There you go. He's been got at.
Said, no. They
nobbled.
Said, no. They said they needed every day that they've had to repair that turf to get it right for this game
Just
Thursday.
Just hold this. We need to get – we're going to back over this. Just stay there because we've got to get a breakaway before the 8 o'clock news.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Well, I hope Jay-Z Clark's listening to this. It's a developing story with Wispy, the man that broke the turf problems. Now we're hearing that the Adelaide Oval, who have a game scheduled for 4:35 on Saturday, Port Adelaide taking on the Brisbane Lions, have got a truckload of turf being delivered as we speak.
An emergency turf convoy, Alexandra to Adelaide, happening today, Gary.
Well, yesterday and the day before when the MCG laid their turf and Wisp then walked it,
yes.
You gave it the tick off.
Thumbs up, I gave it yesterday.
We're going to have enough time if this truck gets there by today?
Well, I don't know how much turf they have to relay, if it's around the edges or whatever, but they are. They do come in.
Sod is heavy,
I believe they come in 45 millimetre thick, 1 metre wide and about 10 metres long. They weigh about 800 kilos per roll.
Well, they're not
roll.
Moving then.
So they probably won't move, but it's, you know, like you talked about the stretcher joins and all that sort
I
of
did.
Stuff last week and how complicated that is. And I spoke about the fertiliser they've got to spray,
Sammy,
which promotes
you,
very quick root growth.
Can you ring the Adelaide Oval?
Let's
for
make
us?
Some calls. I'm worried about Eddie Betts' pocket.
Ring the Adelaide Oval and get back to us and make sure this game's not going to get shifted up to the Gabba. Surely not. The former Swan skipper and an absolute star of this competition for a long period of time has retired after 16 seasons, 290 games, premiership, three-time best and fairest, retired last year. The old hamstring got him, but he's back, Whispers. He's going to have a run around in the country league in the Carlton draft, and he's been good enough to join us. G'day, Joshy.
G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim.
Thanks hey, Josh. Me. You been a good paddock?
Not by the looks of it.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. I've tried to stay reasonably fit. But,
Tim, he looks like an Adonis, I'm telling you.
It's been a lot harder.
Did you let yourself go?
A lot harder.
Yeah, diet and all that sort of stuff. You've got to keep it under control. Surely you just allowed yourself a little bit more leeway, did you?
Oh, I absolutely allowed myself a little bit more leeway. But old habits do die hard. So having said that, the longer the time goes, the harder the habits are dying.
My mail is you were pounding the streets of Sereno with the top off, with the tan and
really?
A nice little bit of suntan oil on, Whispers, and looking at $1 million. That's the mail I got down the peninsula.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure about that. Maybe coming back from a swim or something. But I'm not sure about that. With the top off.
You put your hand up to play some footy with the Carlton Draft Local Legend campaign, so you're going to be having a run around somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So I've got to try in reasonable condition, but we'll see. There's a fair bit of unknowns, particularly the hamstring, but that's okay. We'll make sure that medical covers all part of the deal, and yeah, look forward to having a bit of fun.
It'll be great. It's a great initiative, and will be great interest for some clubs that need a little bit of a pickup. Hey, what do you think sitting back watching that grand final? I can't imagine. Having invested so much time, you got one premiership medallion to your name, which is absolutely sensational. But the expectations for the Swans going in and then the reality must have been a pretty bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, it always is. I mean, I've played in a couple of losing grand finals. It's regardless of whether it's a point or you know, 70, it's bloody tough. And then you, as a player, you're sort of sitting there wondering, you know, what is it all worth it? But it certainly is. And you just got to continue to give yourself a chance. And Geelong are a great example of that over the years. Just, you know, they lost the prelim the year before by a fair margin. And a grand final a few years before that, you just got to keep putting yourself in a position to have a crack. And I'm sure the boys are going to do that. But yeah, it is. It's devastating, but it's the way that it is, and what makes the day so big and so special.
Hey, Josh, do you think there'll be any scarring, any mental scarring from that game?
Oh, I don't know. It's how do you know? I don't think so. I think you know, the guys are all pretty young and resilient. They'll bounce back pretty hard, I think. And then the senior players that have been around long enough know, you know, the process to be able to just continue to do the right things. And as I said, just give yourself an opportunity to get back there and then have another crack. But I guess we won't know till the end of the season.
There's still a lot of young players there on the list at Sydney. Where are you expecting the improvement in the team to come from this season?
Yeah, well, through that, though, those players sort of taking another step. It's certainly not guaranteed just because of age. But, you know, I know obviously training and playing with them over the last few years, seeing how they apply themselves and their willingness to get better, you know, you expect a lot of improvement. You know, out of guys like Braden Campbell and Errol Goulden, Ollie Florin take the next step, Nick Blakey, like it's pretty exciting for myself and as a Swans fan now and on the other side of the fence to be able to sit back and watch these guys go about it.
So at the other end of the scale, you got Buddy. So how would you handle him? What's your expectations? Should we be thinking maybe 10 games and get him right at the back half of the year? What's your expectations for Buddy this year?
I don't think you would have any expectations. I just think you just play it as it comes. I think you'd go into the year saying, oh, we'll just play him 10 games. I mean, you just assess how he's going, how he's feeling. You know, last year, you know, he played, how many games did he play last year? We played 22 or 23 games last year, which, you know, a lot of people wrote him off 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So he's a phenomenal player, phenomenal athlete, and he's, yeah, I just think you go in with no expectations. If he's right to go, he's right to go, and he'll be the one that you know, is a proud competitor and ultimate professional. He'll know better than anyone. He just play by ear, I would have thought.
Yeah, and that's fair. He paid 23 last year, which is a bloody good effort. Mm. So the heir apparent, if you like, is Logan McDonald, who, for whatever reason, I remember watching him play last year. I think it was against Melbourne at the MCG. Buddy was out and he sort of took over and looked like he owned the forward space, which you got to do as a big key forward. How good can he be?
Yeah, he's another one that, you know, I didn't mention earlier regarding this the improvement of the team and specifically individuals. Look, he's got a lot of great assets. Obviously, his size, his work ethic. He's got great hands. His attitude as well. I mean, far out. Getting told that you're not playing in a grand final the week of as a young player would be devastating. But the way that he handled himself through that period was tremendous and gained a lot more, if he didn't have it already, a lot more respect from all the playing group and Swans community. So I can't wait to see him go about it this year. And I played a bit with him in the reserves last year too. And, you know, he was able to take over games there as well with his you know, his aggression and just, as you said, just roaming around. And he's got a big tank too. So he could be anything. May take a little bit more time, but, yeah, hope to see a bit of improvement from Logan.
Talking to former Sydney Swans superstar Josh Kennedy. Josh, you didn't get to go out of the game the way that you probably wanted to, the way that you might have planned. How do you view all that now, being sort of forced at the end of your career to just sort of sit on the sidelines and watch the game because of that hamstring injury?
Yeah, it's certainly given I know the way the game is, I never planned to go out any specific way. So I wasn't expecting you know, the fairy tale finish, that's for sure. So, you know, it was certainly disappointing. I would have loved to have gone out at least playing, but it wasn't to be. And I was okay with that. And I took a lot of pride and enjoyment out of watching the guys improve last year. And it was, a hell of a ride the back end of the season and just seeing the confidence build and build I know the grand final was really disappointing, but you know, I don't think many people outside the four walls would have tipped us to go in, make it to a grand final at the start of the year. So, yeah, it was special to be part of that. And yeah, you know, the Swans certainly didn't owe me anything, but they made a fair song and dance, which was pretty special. And I'm just so grateful to them and to the game. Really, I had a great time, a great career, and very grateful to all the stakeholders involved for you know, allowing me to do what I love.
A lot of life after footy. What are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm actually on site down here in Mentone. I'm in Melbourne, just learning the ropes in the construction industry at a company called Construct.
We like it.
Just trying something new and out of the comfort zone and see how we go. And yeah, it's great. I'm enjoying it.
So you're going to live in Melbourne now, are you? Going to live in Victoria?
Yes. Yeah, going to move back 2 weeks ago. So it's all happened pretty quickly. But, yeah, living in Victoria at the moment. We'll see how we go. We'll give it a crack and see what happens.
Are you going to join
the place in Sydney? So.
Join Dan Hennebury down at the old Zavs, having a run around with the old footy club?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I'm not sure what the body's capable of at the moment. So I think I'll give the current draft a go. Have a run around and really enjoy getting amongst it in the local footy and the country leagues and see how I go. If I get through and feeling good and still got a desire to pull on the boots, maybe I'll give Hannah's a call at the old Zavs.
Hey, good to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us, and good luck with the Carlton draft this year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Josh Kennedy there, the former skipper. Carlton draft entries are open. Yes, Carlton draft spelled DRAFT across Victoria. Nominate your club. Head to carltondraft.com.au. They close on the March, on the 27th of March. Six lucky clubs to be announced early April. You've already got Bucks, Geordie Lewis, Bernie Vince.
Great pleasure, Corn.
Corn is playing, and now you've also got Josh Kennedy. So great initiative.
Yes, and he touched on all those young players they got there at Sydney too. There's still a lot of improvement left in that team, Gary. I said that to you the other day. And
you said
you
none.
Weren't going to buy into it, but I think maybe having spoken to Josh this morning, you're starting to come my way
said,
a bit.
You said that Chad Warner can't improve anymore.